This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an excellent day. We're here to talk Mavs with you. Another disappointing defeat to the Indiana Pacers, as I'm pretty sure Brian just broke his elbow approaching his microphone position.
Oh, no. You need
coming off the couch here.
You okay? Wow. Hit the funny bone?
Krusty's in some bad shape. You need to hit that life alert thing right now. You're falling. You can't get up. Ready?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm okay. Oh, happy birthday, Shireen Williams, by the way.
Happy birthday, Shireen.
Yeah.
I heard that. That was a hell of a shot.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was just trying to keep my mind on something else there. Oh, wow, that hurt. Oh,
well, happy birthday to Shireen.
Yep, thank you.
Don't want to gloss over that point. It's Bobby Corella, Mavs.com, joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. How the hell are you doing, Bobby?
I miss having fun, guys. I really miss having fun.
Man, that was a glorious time right before and right after the All-Star break, wasn't it?
I remember it. I remember it so well, and yet it seems so far away.
What's your take on why things have gone so bad over the last 6 games defensively?
Man, how much time do we got? I mean, you can boil it down to a few main things. Opponents are shooting pretty well against the Mavs, especially from three. But that is, in many ways, a direct result of a lot of defensive breakdowns. Feels like a lot of things that are happening on the weak side right now for the Mavs are not supposed to be happening, whether it's guys just getting caught in traffic or losing focus or taking unnecessary gambles or just not being close enough to their guy. Teams are just getting a whole lot of corner threes against Dallas, and they're shooting almost 50% on those looks over the last 5 or 6 games. And so, you know, whenever you're giving up a lot of open looks from three, then you feel like you need to overcompensate from that, which then opens up things around the basket, and all of a sudden the whole house of cards just collapses. And so, I mean, I think it's a combination of systemic failures, of individual mistakes, and, you know, a little bit of puck luck, but you have to control the things that you can control, and they have not been doing enough of that for sure over these last 5 games.
Jason Kidd said after the trades that we need to be patient, and we didn't want to hear that because they were on a winning streak. But, you know, how much more patient do we need to be here for things to fall in line, you think?
I mean, it would be great if it was like November or December right now, because then you would have a lot of time. But as it stands, I mean, they're only, one loss ahead of the Lakers for ninth? And I think the Warriors are only 2 losses behind the Mavs, and they're in 10th right now. And so, you know, when you got 3 head-to-head games against them coming up, including the first one next week, so, like, you want to right the ship as soon as possible because you don't have a lot of games left. A lot of the games that you do have left are against teams that you're competing with for playoff positioning. And so, like, there's really not a lot of time to be patient. You know, some of it, I would say, is, you know, especially these last few teams they've played have had bigs that can step out and shoot the three. And a lot of the teams the Mavs beat during that 7-game win streak, just that simply was not the case with their roster. And Dallas typically is going to match up better with those kinds of teams that can't just go five out. You know, that'll allow Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford to hang out toward the rim, block shots, get boards and all that stuff. But you're going up against guys like Miles Turner or KP the other night in Boston. All of a sudden you have to step out on them, and you're putting guys in situations they're not very familiar with. And so some of it is personnel, but Dallas has still not found a way to match up against those teams, which is a problem because once you get to the playoffs, you're going to be going up against a lot more of those teams than you will teams that play these non-shooting bigs. So, you know, the time for patience, I feel like, was a few months ago, unfortunately, and you don't really have that luxury anymore.
Bobby, how do you weigh the risk and reward when it comes to Tim Hardaway Jr. and the amount of minutes he's getting at night? Because you know when he's on, obviously, he can give you 30 points, but defensively, he is so poor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in last night's game, I think he only played, what, 12 or 13 minutes, which I want to say is his lowest in a game all season, you know, outside of maybe if he got hurt early in the game or something. I mean, you know, Tim is typically up near like 25 or 30 points, but his minutes have been trending down these last few games, which, I mean, I get it. You know, whenever he's hot, he's scorching hot, and he's one of the only guys on this team outside of Luka and Kyrie that you can kind of realistically see getting 20 points on any given night, right? And if his shot is not falling, yeah, he's not the kind of difference maker on defense or as a playmaker as a guy like Dante Exum is in the backcourt, and he's certainly not as long or as disruptive as guys like Derek Jones or PJ Washington or Josh Green. So if the shot's not falling, you know, I understand him not getting as many minutes, but at the same time, like Dallas just, especially since the trades, you know, even when they were winning games, their three-point percentage has dropped a little bit because they're starting to play more guys that aren't really three-point shooters, you know, in like the plus sense, guys that are going to clock in at like 40%, high 30s, things like that. You know, PJ Washington, Derek Jones, Josh Green, he's kind of streaky, but whenever he's on, he's on. But Maxi Kleber, you know, these are a lot more guys that are going to be shooting closer to the mid to low 30s, even on a good day. And so you need shooting, you need spacing to allow Luka and Kyrie to create. So Tim is very valuable in that respect, but if a shot isn't falling, then it's like, man, what do we do? You know, because shooting is what he does. So I do kind of feel J-Kid whenever he says, like, look, we have to stay confident in him and we have to keep trusting him, because there really is maybe nobody else on the roster that can do what Hardaway does. But just like with the defense, they need him to snap out of it fast because, you know, these losses are racking up really, really quick right now.
Bobby, is there any chance they're playing too many guys?
That's a good question. You know, they've been rolling with a 10-man rotation in the first few games since everyone's kind of been healthy. It's your starting five, and then like Maxi, Dante, Exum, Hardaway, Gafford off the bench. And, you know, it's like been Derek Jones Jr. as well. You know, and I think a 10-man rotation isn't too much. But where it gets kind of, I guess where it does feel like there are too many guys playing maybe, is because Luka's still playing like 42 minutes. Kyrie is still playing like 38 minutes. And so you are shuffling all of the other guys in and out of the lineup so quickly. And in some of these games, because of foul trouble or matchup problems or whatever, Derek Lively's only playing like 13 or 14 minutes, or Daniel Gafford's only getting like five. So all of a sudden, all these other spots, you're cramming as many guys in there as possible, which I kind of get from like a philosophical standpoint, because you haven't been healthy all season, so you want to see what's working and what's not working, or what can work, what combinations are good, what combinations are bad. But whenever everyone's kind of figuring it out and you got multiple guys slumping, you know, it's really hard to establish any sort of like continuity or rhythm or chemistry, communication on defense. And then on offense, you know, even guys that are slumping, maybe they're not playing enough to snap out of it, to get a little rhythm going. So it's really tough. I mean, it's kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because you want to find out what you have, but, you know, there's only like 15 games left in the season. So it's I think right now they're kind of paying the price for a lot of injuries that they suffered earlier in the year, because they're still looking for answers right now whenever most other teams are starting to peak.
Bobby, is there when you look at this this team, and, you know, I'm kind of thinking about, people like to maybe say, oh, it's effort, you know, defensive effort, lack of. And then you hear him say, well, everybody loves playing for Jason Kidd. Is there a chance that someone steps up and say, listen, if you don't play hard for Jason Kidd, he's not going to be here anymore? Is that a thought at all by you?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I think coaches generally will take the fall whenever team success doesn't happen. And, you know, this is the third season now that he's been the head coach. And, you know, the defense started great his first season. And in the last couple of years, you know, they've been in the 20s. Now, granted, for most of this season, they were at least like closer to league average. But, you know, those numbers have really taken a tumble over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think I don't think it's going to be like you're going to get a press release tomorrow morning or anything. But, you know, the pressure's on everybody. The pressure's on everybody right now, you know, and that's not just the coach. I mean, that's also Luka and Kyrie. That's also all the role players, clearly. I mean, there were some pretty interesting reactions in the building the last couple games. Whenever Hardaway's missed shots, like, you know, fans are getting kind of tired of seeing the losses. And I know the players are getting really frustrated too. And so, you know, I think everybody's kind of feeling the pressure right now. But to your point about some of these issues just coming down to simple things like effort, like, I totally agree. You know, I think the Mavs defensive system in some ways is not perfect, but I feel like some of that is because of the personnel that they have. And so it really comes down to everybody needs to execute. You know, they do not have the margin of error on defense that a lot of these other really, really good teams have, because those teams have better defenders or longer defenders or more athletic defenders. The Mavs don't really have that luxury. And so if one guy messes up, even for 1 second, the whole thing can collapse. And that has just been the case way too many times over the last week or so.
Is there any indication that they're not playing hard for their coach anymore, or that he might be losing his authority in any way?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, I think it's anybody can flip on the game right now and see, you know, a lot of guys are getting beat one-on-one. You know, there's not as much defensive communication, or it doesn't really look like five guys are on a string the way it does whenever they're playing really well. But I don't know if you can attribute that to one thing or the other. You know, I think it's probably a whole lot of things, to be honest. You know, I mean, I know Luke and Kyrie are playing a ton of minutes, so they're probably tired, but they have to push through it. But hey, they got to do so much on offense, but that doesn't matter. You still got to lock it in. I mean, every single player is facing their own challenges right now. And so I just don't know if you can attribute it to one thing any more than you could any other number of reasons. But I mean, it is really hard to argue with the results right now, and the results are definitely not what they wanted to see.
Speaking of those results, is there any possibility in your mind it's just a small sample size, or are these like sustainably bad things that we're seeing?
You know, I think that here's one thing that I think could turn around. The Mavs generally this season do give up a lot of corner threes, and that's one shot that you do not want to allow. But the Mavs are like top five in conceding those shots. But generally, they only concede that shot to guys that they deem to be bad shooters. It just so happens that over these last few games, they have been playing against teams that don't really play bad shooters at all. So, you know, whether the schedule eases up, or maybe they play a good team, but that good team has a guy you don't fear as much, then that number alone could come down, which could give you an extra 3 points per game, or it could save you an extra 6 points per game even. But that's a really kind of wishy-washy thing to rely on, because anybody can get hot in the NBA. I mean, we saw Max Strus bury 5 threes in like 4 minutes at the end of that Cleveland game. Now, he's a great shooter.
Amazing.
But he still scored 15 points in 5 minutes, you know, and a win turned into a loss. And so, you know, you can't count on guys just missing shots, but some of it is just going to be pure regression to the mean. But again, it comes back to things that you can control. Just, you have to watch the tape and realize, man, maybe this situation is not the best time to gamble. You know, maybe right now is not the best time to jump a passing lane. Maybe now is not the best time to try and block a shot. Maybe I should just box out instead. You know, maybe I shouldn't try and draw a charge. Maybe I should just try and establish myself in good position. You know, these things where, like, maybe you're trying so hard to make a splash play that instead you make a mistake. You know, just like play within yourself, play within the system, and keep fighting. You know, these are the most like elementary, rudimentary, like coach speak things, but like that's really what it's going to take. Like, you just have to refocus and lock it in, because, you know, I mean, on their best day, the Mavs are not going to be, you know, a top five defense or maybe even a top 10 defense. But all along, you know, the common thought is if they're just average on defense, then they will be a playoff team because their offense is just that good. So like, you don't have to be the best team of all time here. Just be good enough to give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah, Bobby, I mean, you brought up the personnel a couple of times, and I get it, right? I mean, there's still some weaknesses you look at on that roster, but to your point about this defense at least being average, with the moves that they made at the deadline, adding Gafford, now you've got a couple of quality bigs there with Lively, adding a P.J. Washington, you think that's a better fit. Is there an excuse for this team not to be at least average defensively? They're the deepest they've been, certainly in Luka Doncic's era.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they should be better. They should certainly not be the worst defense, you know, which unfortunately they have been over the last, whatever it is, 5 or 6 games now. They should be much closer to average. They should be maybe even above average. But, you know, in order to do, like, that's not just going to happen by itself. You know, I think it's kind of, like, interesting talking about the Mavs, because Luka and Kyrie are so good on offense, right, that you can just kind of say, they can just sleepwalk their way to being a top half offense just because those guys are so dang good. But they don't have like a Luka level defender or a Kyrie level defender. You know what I mean? Where they can just kind of, you can roll Rudy Gobert out on the court and you're going to have a top half defense. Like, it doesn't even matter. It could be, you know, me and the three of y'all out there playing with him. And we're still going to be great because we got Gobert. You know, the Mavs don't have guys like that. They have good defenders. You know, Lively and Gafford are good around the rim. P.J. Washington's been good. Josh Green can be good. Derek Jones Jr., Dante Exum, those guys are good. But they don't have, like, these all-defense-level difference makers, you know. And so everyone still needs to lock in. And, you know, I don't want to be as cynical as someone who would just say you're only as good as your weakest link. But teams are really going at Luka and Kyrie a lot. And so that means that those two have to dig in. And Tim, you know, same thing for Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, P.J. Washington is good. If I'm a superstar, I'm going to attack a guy that's not P.J. Washington. And I'm going to make them prove that they can stop me. So, you know, everybody does need to step up. That includes Luka and Kyrie, but that also includes everyone else on the roster because, I mean, they need everybody to play as well as they can just to be that defense that's good enough to give them a chance to win games.
Man, so much good stuff from Bobby. I think in conclusion, you know, you've said so many things that got my mind working. Without an elite defender, I think they need, you know, shooters who are also good athletes. It seems like that while they've done a really good job, or Nico's done a great job accumulating talent, maybe another trade to consolidate talent is really what this team needs to find that elite defender and then maybe another, you know, really strong two-way player instead of the collection of guys that they have that are deep but maybe not good enough with the right traits. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they got bigger. They got more athletic. I think they're definitely a faster team now than they were going into the deadline. But they still have some issues defending the point of attack. And, you know, I still think just positionally, they could still just get a little bigger, maybe a little deeper. And then, like, okay, perfect example, Derek Jones Jr., easily their best point of attack defender. And his shooting is trending up these last few games. But for a while, he was shooting in the 20s from three. So can you find a guy that's as good at defending as Derrick Jones is, but that's as good at shooting as somebody like Tim or somebody like Josh Green, who's a 40-plus percent three-point shooter? You know, that is kind of the guy that they need, and they need not just one of them, but like four of them. You know, and then all of a sudden now you're really cooking. So I think they have taken some steps forward conceptually, philosophically, you know, in terms of size and all these other things. But the job is not finished yet, and unfortunately, you know, we're seeing the proof right now. But I don't think it's like a lost cause or anything. I don't want to like be smashing my panic button, but okay. Time is running out, gentlemen, so we cannot waste it.
Words of wisdom once again, Bobby. Appreciate you. Have a great afternoon, and let's go get these Heat on Thursday night.
Friday hey, thank night. You guys. I appreciate it.
Let's go.
Thanks, Bobby.
There he is, Bobby Carella, Mavs.com with you in the G-Bag Nation. It's tomorrow night with the Heat. Friday night, it's one of the next two nights, going to take on the Heat. And that's going to be a great opportunity for the Mavs to bounce back and start to get some momentum going. Top 10 at 420 is next. Woolchuck, where are we heading?
Well, it is National Oreo Day and National Frozen Food Day. I left it up to the Tolos. Do you want the Oreos? Do you want the frozen food list? That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. You know what time it is. Wolchuk's about to deliver his top 10 at 420. He does it every afternoon at this time. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate at carsforkids.org. Here's the Woolly Bully, Zach, with an H.
Thank you very much. It seems as though by a vote of 51% to 49% that the top 10 best store-bought cookies got the win today, as Oreo was able to get the victory over the frozen foods. Had top 10
so
best
frozen food
brand.
Are we talking like TV dinner?
TV dinners, absolutely.
Dawson, don't look at me like that.
Those TV dinners were bad, man.
The Salisbury steak?
Your Stouffer's, Marie Callender's.
The only cool thing was back in the day, they came
get
in
the
this
prize.
Aluminum tray. They had a prize. They had a little brownie that was never great, but it was still pretty good.
Solid.
And you get these trays out that you'd put in your living room in front of your couch, and the TV dinner came with a bit.
TV trays.
You know, it was the beginning of not eating at the dinner table. It was hanging out and just kind of chilling on the couch while you were eating, and it was fun. But that Salisbury steak and those little pathetic carrots, that was just bad eating.
The mac and cheese with the Salisbury steak. I used to go with Salisbury steak, but it had the potatoes with like the brown gravy.
You kind of make your own.
You kind of doll it up a little bit.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah. That's homemade.
It's a different time,
right there,
Wolchuk, when living room eating was not normalized.
Man. Yeah, now it is. I mean, I grew up on those kid cuisines that they have. You just microwave those. Those were good. The mac and cheese, the Michelinis or whatever they were called. Those
Stouffer's.
Were not bad. The Stouffer's, absolutely. I mean, heck, a bagel bite, a pizza roll, maybe some taquitos,
I could
frozen
tell you
taquitos.
What, I could punish some of those bagel bites.
Yeah.
There were those
were great. Yeah.
There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of good options.
That's like eating sushi to me.
Chicken nuggies?
Wow, one bite. Wow.
See, in the 90s and 2000s, they perfected the frozen food. At the very beginning, they thought they had to give us a full dinner meal. And mm-hmm.
It's almost they were sending you to space.
Yes, exactly. It's like
space food.
It's like they were giving you space food.
Yeah.
They would pretend it was a healthy and wholesome meal.
But it's not. It's really not. But we'll go with the best store-bought cookies for you.
What?
Yes. On National Oreo Day. And it is delicious. We do love our Oreos. Of course, the double stuff is the way you've got to go, in my opinion. You still like the Oreos, though, right, Gavin? I know you kind of pivoted.
I do love Oreos. They just don't agree with my system as much anymore. I'm kind of washed up.
Is that what it
is? You might have heard.
Okay, that's fine. You're not washed up. How are we doing on the pull-ups? So did you get back in the gym?
I'm not good. Don't have any progress to report.
This is the longest Lent in the history of Lent for him.
Hey,
yeah. I'm feeling awful weak here. Not getting enough carbs and protein in. Haven't been feeling up for the workout. But I am down like 7 pounds, I think, since the start.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you, buddy.
For that, because I've definitely gained at least 7 pounds.
I just had a kid, man. Shut up.
You know the struggle.
Yeah. It's tough. It really is. Yeah, well, the schedule's all out of whack. You're right. I'm not getting home until 10 o'clock now.
You eat hospital food at all?
I have not had any of the hospital food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maya did, and she said it was okay, but she had a baked potato.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, I don't know how you can mess that up, really.
I think the problem is
you can mess up a baked potato.
Really?
Yeah, you can.
If you don't live a lifestyle that just naturally maintains a weight and your natural tastes and eating habits do it, as soon as your routine is broken, it could be months, years before you get back on it. That's why I was so happy to see you back on them soda shakes.
Yes, I'm back on it. In fact, I'm overdue. I need to get one. But yeah, I've got the mental strength. As soon as I allow myself to kind of break off of that, that's when it's any type of excuse, you open that up.
That's where I am with the pull-ups right now. Oh, I don't have to do them today. I'll just do them tomorrow.
No big deal. I just had a kid. I can have this Whataburger right now. I love it. It's so damn delicious.
Actually, you caught a break not going to camp then. Because that's all we did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We ate terrible.
And I would have said, you know what, Brian, that hot dog you just had looks delicious. I'm going to go ahead and just try it.
Yeah.
You only live once.
The disintegrating bun was bad, but
say the bun was. They need to get sturdier buns.
The pizza was a little chewy.
It's hard. It's a tough needle to thread here with these gourmet designer dogs on a bun. You know, even the great Hurtado, the Oaxaca dog, the best hot dog in the world, it's slippery a little bit when you're sitting there in that delicious brioche bun. It's just not easy to handle. It doesn't scale up to gourmet as easy as the burger did.
All right, we got some Texan. Dip your Oreo in peanut butter. I don't know that I've tried that, but that sounds good. And 817, I work it on the border. They have deep-fried double-stuffed Oreos.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they got those at a couple of spots. Holy I like crap. To get them at Pluckers, State Fair.
Oh, yeah, Pluckers does do those, don't they?
I do believe you need ice cream with that. That it just doesn't work without a little
vanilla.
It's just
wanting a little a la mode there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Top 10 best store-bought cookies. Lucius Alexander.
Yo.
Your top store-bought cookie, my friend.
So right now, I've been eating these cookies called maple cream cookies.
What?
From Turkey Hill. My what? God. What? They're Canadian. So good, bro.
The Canadians can do their cookies well.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Maple
syrup?
Maple cream. Yes, like syrup. Okay. Maple cream cookies. They're amazing. I put them above the Tate's right now. And Tate's is an amazing cookie.
That sounds
good. I see these.
Wow.
They're I'm definitely very intrigued. Is there like a frosting in the middle there? Or is that just like a shortbread cookie?
Yeah, it's like a shortbread cookie with some maple syrup. It's really good, bro.
Lucius, you're saying Turkey, are they Turkey Hill?
Hill is the name, is the brand name.
Dude, you're such a snob. These are Amazon cookies.
Hey, you know.
If it's a good, you're not a snob for getting store-bought cookies. There's nothing.
Takes one to know one, bro.
Yeah, what the hell? This guy wants to call you a snob. We bring up a food. Do you make it yourself? Are you making it?
Yeah.
Oh, I made the bun for my burgers.
Churned
Don't
butter.
Buy store-bought buns, you snob. Go bleep yourself over there.
These Turkey Hill.
They're really good, man.
These cookies look like they're boxed like
for, they look really good. Actually, dude, I've had these. My grandmother used to have these.
Yeah, man.
They are delicious.
You got to put on some white gloves if you want to serve those to somebody.
That's what I'm saying, man. This is some high-end
These will
cookies,
melt in
right?
your mouth.
So good, bro.
Yes, bro. Yeah. These are absolutely fantastic.
I don't even share it with the dogs. Nope, this is mine.
No, no, no.
You don't get a bite.
The bottle is even shaped like a maple leaf.
You know,
these are high dollar, $20 a box.
Okay. Thank you, Dawson, for jumping in here.
I'm not media watchdogging it. I'm just impressed.
I am. I'm media watchdogging.
Do you ever dip them in your tea or coffee?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Tequila? That's a whole other story.
Dip it in tequila, maybe. Gavin, I know you went through those wafers. You went through a kick with the wafers.
Oh, the sugar wafers.
On here, dude. The sugar wafers, yes.
Also, Amazon, while you're getting these maple cream cookies, do the Ruger sugar wafers. The best in the world, the Ruger, R-U-G-E-R. They're popular downstairs in our little break room thing. I love those. I love the Lorna Doone shortbread as well. That's
the Lorna Doone shortbread are on here as honorable mention
as well.
Exactly. Lorna Doone shortbread cookies.
The multiple colored Mother's cookies that are frosted.
Yes.
Those are just stupid good still.
Those are still delicious.
Oldie but a goodie.
The Mother's Animal cookies. Those are number 6 on this list. Yes, they are. You know your cookies, man. The Teddy Grahams are honorable mentions, Lucius. I know you love your Teddy Grahams. We got so many different. And the Biscoff cookies.
Are those the tiny ones?
Oh, yeah. Biscoffs are amazing.
The Biscoffs are good.
Yeah.
They'll give those to you sometimes if you're lucky on an airplane.
Oh, my God.
It's like, yes. Can I take a couple more?
Yeah.
Yeah, the chocolate
Eric
Teddy
was
Grahams.
Asleep, and I grabbed his.
Oh, did you? As you should. That's well played.
Yeah.
The cinnamon Teddy Grahams. And you've got so many different flavors of those. They're absolutely delicious. Pepperidge Farms getting texted in. Those are really good. Chunky Chips Ahoy in the brown packaging. Keebler Chunky Chocolate Chip. The Albertsons Chocolate Chip Cookies.
Boy, those Chips Ahoy, my mother used to hide those in the house. She did not want us to touch her Chips Ahoy.
Oh, those were her favorite.
Yeah, boy.
I'll tell you what,
you got to get home before she does. You go looking hard. Me and the sister and brother, like, we go looking hard. Don't move anything. Make sure it is what it is. Just give me 3 cookies, dude.
When did we start opening them up in the package, in the middle of the package, though? When did, you know, the Chips
Ahoy? 20 years or so.
Yeah, they got that peel. They got that peel thing.
Yeah, it's much better.
When did we start doing that? That's a good question.
Probably. Like, I did like the old foil bag that you would couple back
with. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
The foil bag.
That's what I grew up with, too. You're not that old.
Okay. Chips Ahoy are pretty old, though,
right? Maybe 2000, maybe mid-2000s they made the switch.
I think you're right. Yeah, Chips Ahoy are, I've always.
They're like 1980s cookies, I guess.
But and now they've got a bunch of different kinds. You got the soft, you got the chewy. There's different flavors that
How about
they offer.
Just the
hard or soft, young man.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
last honorable mentions, we got Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookies in the red package, and then the Keebler Chips Deluxe Rainbow cookies. Those basically just have M&M's.
Those are M&M cookies.
Yeah.
Good cookies, though.
Number 10, we got Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies.
Great cookie.
Yeah.
Did he get his start like in airports and stuff? Where? How did he get it? It's a pretty famous story, right?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
Famous Amos, is it?
Yeah, I think it's famous.
So is this guy, is this real? Like, do we actually?
No, it's a real,
he's a real person.
Dude. Okay. Dude's made hundreds of millions of dollars doing this.
What was it a couple weeks ago we found out this wasn't a real guy? They just took this dude's name.
Spunkmeyer.
Spunkmeyer. The muffin man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spunkmeyer.
Eric's like, your Jewish brother, Spunkmeyer. Now he's not even real. He's not even a real dude. Number 9 is those, I'm probably saying this wrong.
You are.
Due to financial troubles, Famous Amos was forced to sell Famous Amos the company, bro.
What?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, maybe Famous Amos seemed like kind of a loose guy.
What do you mean by that?
His name was Wally.
Yeah, kind of loose. Kind of like...
He got Wally pipped.
Hey, don't you know me? I'm Famous Amos. Hi, Famous Damn. Amos. Kind of, yeah.
Number 9, we got the Purelene wafers. I say those right? They're like the, they look like the little Praline? Tubes. Maybe. They look like tubes, and inside there's chocolate in the middle. They're good. You'd see them if you Google them.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah,
that's a Christmas time thing.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Number 8 are the Chewy Chips Ahoy. Number 7 are Nilla wafers.
That's just too darn plain for me.
Yeah. You got to put them on like a lemon meringue pie or something.
How about banana pudding?
Ooh, banana pudding. Amen. Yeah. Number 6 are your mother's animal cookies. Those are so damn good.
Whoa. Like the animal cookies in a little box?
But these are the ones that are frosted.
No, those are crackers. Yeah, those are with the cookies.
About to say, those things, you might as well just, that's like eating sandpaper.
Yeah. Number 5 are the golden Oreos.
Yes, what? The thin. You want the thin ones, trust me.
The golden Oreos are really taking on right now.
Are they yellow?
Yeah, they are. Number 4 are Nutter Butters.
Very underrated. Although they feel like they're a century old. They came out of the Depression era as far as a cookie, but they're really good.
They are good. Number 3 are the Keebler Fudge Stripe cookies.
Those things, that's an underrated cookie.
Those
right?
are damn
Especially
good.
Especially when they have the chocolate on the back of the cookie.
That's exactly, yes. Yeah. Yes, that's heaven. Number 2 is the Pepperidge Farm Milano cookies. Now, that's a little snobbish right
That's
there.
Cookie on top of chocolate on top of cookie, right?
Yeah. It's those things are absolutely...
To me, they're not as good as the packaging looks.
Well,
I've bought them a couple of times, and I'm like, I this isn't me.
And they're too expensive. Okay. I don't think there's like enough bang for your buck there. But number 1, best store-bought cookie on National Oreo Day is indeed the Double Stuff Oreo.
I love it. It's a delicious item. I think if you're dunking them and saturating them with milk, the single will do. But if you're just going with a little Dunkaroo, you got to have the double stuff.
You got to go double.
There's just, you know, you don't want the dry cookie experience in my that at least that's in my my purview.
I've never dunked cookies at all.
What? You're missing out.
You don't dunk them in your yogurt.
No.
That's just the cereal.
That's the cereal.
Okay.
We got to get this remedied, Brian. It's
I'm 60 years old. You're running out of days. Kind of like Mavs playing defense.
We're gonna sit down, watch the Mavs play defense. We're gonna get through the entire Star Wars and 3 different trilogies and dunk some cookies, brother. Okay, it's time now.
Mark, be on your Scantron for false.
For a little Rangers baseball discussion. They've been battling the Rockies all day long. Hell There's a fresh batch of news, and a round tripper is next in the G-Bank Nation here on 105 Through the Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you, Lucius.
I see a mistake, and then I see the top of Broadus' head just bouncing up and down.
He loves
Pause.
It.
Pause.
He just likes to see people struggle to read.
I don't blame him. Yeah. I do, too.
I just like how Lucius sometimes will mix the car reads he has. Like,
an easy mistake to make, man.
He's got it on autopilot at this point.
Drive and see the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they changed the copy. Yeah. Crap. All righty. Coming up at 5 o'clock, an edition of Football's Finest is in the making for you. Right now, we got to get the latest on the Rangers. Another busy day out there in Arizona for them, and Woolchuk has your round trip.
Yes, it was a 6-6 tie. This was not a surprise. This was in Scottsdale. They tied at 6 against the Colorado Rockies. The Rangers did get in the spring training debut of Adolis
Garcia.
Missed
an extra point?
Yeah, pretty much. They got the solo bombski from Adolis Garcia's El Bombi goes yard in his first spring training game. Davis Wenzel had an RBI double.
Doing
also
pretty well.
Added an RBI single there in the fourth inning.
Hey, baseball man, tell me about him. What's his...
Baylor kid.
What do we
second round draft
call
pick?
This?
Hey, stealing the floor.
Give me the backstory on Wenzel.
Yeah, Wenzel was taken second round out of Baylor. Good player, and he's an infielder though. So
he's got
now,
no shot then, right?
He probably. I mean, unless there's an injury, he could get called up.
Okay, but so he's not going to be with us, right?
I mean, probably not. Probably not, because you've got, like, I mean, if Josh Young's calf or something, for whatever reason, lingers into the season, but it sounds like he's getting close to returning. Maybe that could open the door for Davis Wenzel, but he essentially would be a similar role as, like, Josh Smith and Ezekiel Duran right now.
Okay.
Where he'd be a utility guy.
So he's behind those two, though, as far as... Okay.
He is, but Davis Wenzel's another one of these guys where we've talked about at the trade deadline a year ago. You know, he was a name along with Justin Foscue, where the Rangers don't really have a place to play these guys currently that you could use as a trade ship. But Wenzel's having a really good spring.
That's
right
now.
That's
what I'm saying. I was kind of curious if he was playing his way onto the club, but I guess not.
Every time we've looked up, he's been making a play at the...
And you know what? Maybe he is. Maybe he's a guy that he's too good for them to say, you know what, he needs to make the big league club. But I bet, unless they have a spot... I mean, look, I wouldn't mind a Davis Wenzel over a Josh Smith. I think he's got a better bat.
You shut your mouth about the LSU guy there, please.
I do like Josh Smith. He's a great guy.
Josh Smith's playing okay, right?
Yeah, he's been okay. Yeah. He's been okay.
All right.
But maybe
he's
Wenzel.
He's a world champion, by the way.
He's a hell of a defensive player, and he's great around the base. He's got more speed than Wenzel.
Change
Josh
his
Smith
number.
Does.
We're number eight now.
Maybe number eight. That's exactly what he needed.
It's helping.
He needed the Kobe.
There's just so many damn good players. You know, I think just 3 years ago to 6 years ago, Wenzel being an everyday guy, one of your best players out there, be like Solak and Wenzel.
He would. Yeah. Even Blaine Krim is another dude who's been awesome with Frisco. He had another solo home run today, has some good power, but he's going to be in the minor leagues to start the season. Maybe he could be starting for one of these other teams. Ranger observations. Nathan Eovaldi looks ready to rock, and I hope that Evo can stay healthy. 34 years old. Let's go get you yourself a Cy Young this year, shall we? But he's had some
started
really
off
good...
well first half last year, all those strikeouts,
a lot
of innings,
you know. And then, of course, in the postseason, he was absolutely dominant.
He's
looking good this spring, he looks ready to go. Justin Foscue's been absolutely fantastic. He had a couple of well struck doubles in the Rangers B game yesterday. He's hit 350 with a 909 OPS in 20 Cactus League at bats as he tries to get that DH spot. Justin Foscue's been tearing it up, and a guy that I'm really excited about, and he might be the young arm that I'm most excited about at 23 years old, is Mark Church. And there was an awesome write-up. He's a dude who had a really good performance a couple days ago in relief.
Yeah, I had a backstory on him last week.
Yeah, Evan Grant's been all over him. But he's a dude that I think, you know, 18th round pick in 2019, 6'3", 190. The stuff, 94 to 97 mile per hour range. The slider can hit upper 80s. But if there's a guy that maybe one of these young guys like Cody Bradford last year that I'm thinking, okay, he might be the dude to step up for you, I think Mark Church would be the guy that I would bet on.
Yeah, he's had to learn to pitch. He did not start pitching until after his senior year of high school after a bet from his buddy. And then he was like, dang, I'm really good at this. So those are the kind of guys that could be in your system for 3 or 4 years and might be the late bloomer for one reason or another. For him, it would be, you know, position change. And yeah, that, you know, I'm willing to be patient, but I think he has the talent to step into the big leagues at least this year and give him something.
Yeah.
He really does.
I agree. And they're going to need that in the bullpen. We've seen how that can be tough to navigate throughout the course of a season. We mentioned this in the open, but the Pirates' top prospect, Paul Skeens, the number 10 overall prospect in Major League Baseball, depending on what site you look at, but he's going to begin the 2024 season in the minors. Of course, was selected out of LSU. 19 starts as a junior, was 13-2, is absolutely fantastic. But it seems like the Pirates just don't want to rush him right now. They're going to slow play this thing. It's possible he gets called up and ends up being a factor for Pittsburgh during the season.
Yeah.
But at least to start off, he's going to be at AAA, will be Paul Skeens.
Are we saving that year, Dawson? Is that
probably
what we're doing?
Okay. Probably. I mean, he's amazing. If I was Paul, I would just ask for the trade right now. Put me in the big leagues day one or trade me, please, because I don't want to be in your jobber organization anyway.
Get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I don't want to play.
No disrespect to the Pirates fans. I was a big fan of the Bees in the 90s, and obviously what they laid down in the 70s was amazing, but this is a loser franchise.
Can you name a player from the 70s?
Kent Tekulve.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Relief pitcher.
Very nice.
I thought if you said
hesitation.
If you said Manny Sanguian, I'd have been even more impressed.
Manny Sanguian.
I don't think I could have gone much farther, Brian.
Roberto Clemente.
Roberto Clemente was the first one that came up, but I didn't know. Was he 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was.
I could have named him.
Yeah.
That would have, because he's got a whole
Bill day. Blass used to pitch for him. Bruce Keyson. It's amazing how I can remember.
What the hell?
I can remember things from the 70s, and like Lucius would say, I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
What did you have for lunch yesterday?
Salad.
Okay.
But yeah.
I think you're not giving yourself enough credit.
I'll tell you what, these bags of salad that you can buy, you can really doll them up. You can make them nice.
You know what? I'm surprised you're not chopping up the lettuce and carrots and everything yourself.
No, but you could put protein and stuff in them and make them really, really good.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like those bags of salad from the grocery store with the deli chicken.
Yeah, there you go.
Chop it up, throw it in the bag.
Grade your own cheese, put it in there, put some olive oil on top.
Fantastic.
Well, you don't make your own cheese?
You know what? I've thought about it. I've watched videos on how to make mozzarella. It's a lot of work.
Mozzarella is very challenging.
It's a lot of work.
It does. Yeah. Last thing here as we go around the bases, Bleacher Report put out their top 10 first basemen entering the season. Nathaniel Lowe of your Texas Rangers.
Number 10. It's close.
In a rare misfire by the Rays front office, Lowe was traded to the Rangers in a five-player deal back in 21. He's hit .276, .359, .441 for a .121 OPS plus over the past three seasons, while averaging 30 doubles, 21 homers, 78 RBIs, and a 2.7 WAR. Won the Silver Slugger 2 years ago, Gold Glove a year ago, 3 years with club control remaining, low-cost, high-production player.
Great guy.
He is. I mean, he's one of the best personalities on the team. Number one ranked first baseman, not a shocker, it's Freddie Freeman of your Dodgers, followed by Matt Olson of the Braves, and then Bryce Harper of the Phillies at number three.
I told you my guy, my Major League Baseball source guy, he told me that Wyatt Langford is the right-handed version of Freddie Freeman.
I love it.
And this is the same guy that told me you're going to love the Jonah Heim trade.
Oh, so he knows.
He knows.
Yeah. This guy is dialed. That's a great source.
This guy,
Man, if we got ourselves a Freddie Freeman,
he goes. We were talking about Jonah Heim. He goes, the part of the trade that you won is the Jonah Heim part. Mm-hmm. That's what you want it.
He's been an absolute stud behind the plate and at the dish as well. Looking forward to another big year from Jonah. Probably another All-Star year.
God, I hope so.
Thank you, Woolchuck.
My pleasure.
A little stroll through baseball stories and getting really excited about the Rangers, who are now just 3 weeks and 1 day away from opening day. It'll be a Thursday night game, 6:30 start, 6:00 pregame here on your home of the Rangers, and we're going to be out there having a great time with you. Okay, in addition of football's finest is on deck, what kind of NFL stuff is rattling around over there in your brain, Woolchuck?
Dalton Schultz is talking about the Cowboys culture. Is it like a zoo? That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.